Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignments from the weekend on Friday. How are you kept from enjoying your life? Record and listen. Write a prescription for yourself that will heal a disease or discomfort you are currently suffering. Where would you say you were in your life now? Record and listen. So here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Jen calling from the monastery.
Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
What'd you see?
So I was really looking at the one from Friday, and, you know, went with the day before. So how much of your life are you allowed to enjoy, and what stops you from enjoying it? I was really seeing a lot with that, and I think I saw sort of a foundational piece that I wanted to look at. So I feel like a great gift that life has given me is that there's just a natural enthusiasm that I go around in life with. And as I was doing the assignments, this recent example of all of this dropped in where, so we were in Ndola, we were in Zambia, and I was out one morning taking a walk early in the morning. It's so beautiful, you know, just, it's not hot yet, and the air is amazing, and the plants, and the bird song, and all of that. And I watched how, as that's going on, there's like this somewhat subtle, although it's one of those things when you see it, not so subtle, referencing to check to see if, I'm not sure how to say it, I'm allowed to feel that way, or everything's okay, so I can feel that way. And what I saw was, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's all right. Go ahead. I was going to ask you a question, but you go ahead. I can ask you in a minute.
Okay. So the answer, I think a lot of times on subtle or not so subtle levels is basically no, you can't, actually.
Okay.
You can't
okay.
completely just be here and relax into this moment. And there's a second part, but I don't want to go past it if there's a question you had.
Well, I was just wondering if the way we would phrase what's going on is constantly looking for what's wrong.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, just kind of simple, straightforward, that's what's going on. There must
yes.
be something wrong. What is it?
Yes.
You're not seeing
yes.
it right now, but it's there. So what is it?
And exactly so. And so the reason that one of those mornings particularly dropped in, it was actually a string of mornings, was that I don't even know how to phrase it again, but anyway, what was presented to me was this thing that had happened the day before that was kind of disappointing, like in myself. So I was looking at something, I got some assistance to look at something, and I realized that I was being, sort of behaving, if you will, in a way that was polar opposite from how I actually wanted to be, but not on some level, I think I saw that, but I hadn't really seen it until it was brought to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first reaction to that was one of tremendous gratitude because, as I say, on some level, I'd been aware that it was going on, and so there was this gratitude for getting to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I saw in that walk that morning was that I was supposed to not be able to just, you know, gosh, enjoy this moment and just be here and feel happy and enjoy my life because of this thing that was out there that
mm-hmm.
had happened / was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big piece I feel like I saw as I was doing this assignment was, wow, I think that process of disallowing me to have one way to say it would be to be connected with the ground of being unconditionally that was going on that morning is the exact same process that has me act in a way that's polar opposite from how I actually want to act.
Yes. I would bet that is an absolute yes. So two things about it. I was looking at this in group yesterday. for ego, we just go with that. For ego, there has to be something wrong.
Yeah.
There has to be, because that's the only way the dualistic world has the only reason anybody would ever pay it any attention. Mm-hmm. There has to be something wrong, which means, of course, there's something right. And so if you were to drop that belief in something wrong,
yeah.
Every problem you've ever had or could ever have would disappear in that moment.
Wow.
Because then everything would just be, as we were kidding, playing with yesterday, as is.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true. Which is what's true.
Yeah.
Everything is as is. But we're meant to believe there's actually something wrong, and our job is to find out what that is. So we're constantly referencing conditioned mind to discern what it is. The second piece that you're pointing at, was there something?
No, just please go.
Okay.
Yep.
The second point of that is that if you are able to see everything about how you have been conditioned, everything about karmic conditioning as a, that's interesting. Wow, that's helpful. Can you imagine how your life would transform in an instant? So once again, that underlying, deep, deep underlying belief that I need to be the right person, so I need to find out what's wrong with me so that I can fix that, change that, and then be the right person. That's how ego has everybody on the planet bamboozled, as far as I can tell.
God, it's so helpful. Wow. I mean, I just feel the emotion, I feel the relief as you're talking, because the defense against that, how did you just say it? So if it's always looking for what's wrong, and therefore there is a right. And so internally, that's happening to me. We were looking at this in group also at the monastery yesterday. Internally, it's telling me, like, you know, this way they think that, blah, blah, blah. So then I am in defense against that, and then I'm acting all of these ways to defend against something that's an illusion that's coming from inside.
Yes.
Originally.
Projected
like,
out.
So there's,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Woo. Big.
Simple little exercises, one a day.
that's the prescription, right?
That's the prescription. Yeah. That was the other one that I don't know about you folks, but down at center, people had so much fun with the prescription.
So writing
the prescription, and that's what this is. Yep. All right.
Yep.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Sherry. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jen. Sherry, I think what I saw in that really is that place of we get that there's nothing wrong and we come to the moment, but if we allow ourselves to go to that place of then why don't I feel a particular way? Let me work out what's going on here. We've fallen into the pit again.
Yes. And the reason for that, the reason we can have great sympathy for ourselves is, again, that conditioning is so deep. If you just decide that you're going to just let it all go and just be here and be happy, be grateful, be in this moment, see the beauty, enjoy your life, well, isn't that irresponsible? I mean, there are a lot of things that are wrong, and you're just going to drop all of that and just be happy with the way things, with the way you are? How arrogant!
Mm-hmm.
How selfish!
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
How enlightened!
Yeah. Yeah.
How wise!
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that you could be with how it is, as is, without it being wrong. And the only way it's wrong is if it's comparatively referenced to you. All right, let's hear about how other people are not being allowed to enjoy their life. Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning or afternoon. This is Carol in Philadelphia.
Well, good afternoon, Carol.
I couldn't be happier to be on, and I couldn't be happier to have followed Jen's call, because I could walk in her shoes and know exactly what she was feeling. I, too, have a natural enthusiasm, and it is not unusual for me to feel it and then go, oops, and get noodled about something.
You get turned into a noodle.
Yes, Sherry, you said something that was particularly apt, I think, when you referred last week in a call to someone who had some wide experience with various practices, and you pointed out that you probably knew what that person was referring to, but you said the thing about this practice is that it shows you step by step how to get there, because some of these articulated ways of being make one feel how did he get there?
Yeah.
I appreciate him. I appreciate what he has just said, but how does he get there? And it is true that the practice gives you that. And as far as the prescription is concerned, I started this in March. The gratefulness really, really impacted me. And in March, I became acquainted with the leaves as they were coming out of the trees, and then the shape of the leaves as the season went on. Now, because of the gratefulness, I see the shape of the trees without the leaves. I don't think I ever saw that. I don't think I ever saw that. But one
seeing,
of the things
I'm projecting, seeing the perfection in each of the moments.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and but what's interesting about what you just this minute said was that one of the things that dropped in, I wrote down on this paper, trees. Then I wrote leaves in a small L, E-A-V-E-S. Then under it, I wrote now, shape of leaves. And in my head, I said, should that be a capital or should it not? And I thought, where is that coming from? And I thought, the need to be perfect. I saw in, I'm hesitating with the pencil. So I went up and turned the small letter L into a capital so it would match the capital now underneath it. I thought, where does that come from?
Yeah. Yes. The what you're seeing is the first impulse of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, apostrophe S, control over you. That you're being watched and monitored and directed all the time so that you will not actually meet its standards, although that's what it would say, but so that it will be where you attend.
Yeah. It gets your attention, for gosh sakes.
Yeah.
It does. trips you up.
But Carol, here's the truly remarkable part of that story. You were there, present, when you saw it begin.
Okay.
Yeah. So it actually doesn't matter what it does. When you're present for it, you are in a larger and expanded awareness in order to be aware of that one little piece. And in being in that expanded awareness and seeing that piece, you get to watch how ego is created and maintained moment by moment by moment through that direction of attention. That's what we're going for.
We sure are. And keep that promise you suggested last week that we're not going to stop this. We're going to do something else next year like it. Try to make that happen.
Oh, yeah. Good Lord willing, and creek don't rise. We can't stop this. We are on too big a roll here as a sangha. We got to keep that. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Carol.
Well, I love you all. I love you each. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Carol.
Ashwini?
Oh, can you not hear me?
No. Were you muted?
Oh, well.
Maybe so.
Well, I'll bring on the next caller. Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Aloha, this is Laura.
Aloha. How are you doing this morning, and what are you seeing?
Well, I got bumped off the call, so I missed a lot of the first conversation, so I'll have to listen to that. So what I was looking at when I was doing the prescription, I noticed that a lot of action verbs came up. So like focus the attention, drop the stories, train in an attitude of gratitude, those kinds of actions that that I think automatically move me out of conditioned mind and into the present.
That we might say they are demonstrating that movement for you.
Yes.
Uh-huh. They're the words that represent that feeling. Because it's one of those places where accept, embrace, let go. You know, when we do that, well, now which comes first? Do I accept first or do I embrace first or do I let go and then I can accept and embrace? And, well, no, they all happen at the same time. So those action words are the words that get triggered by the movement that's happening.
Yes. Yes, and yeah, so language is so, I can't think of the word now.
mysterious.
Yes, mysterious is a good one. It's so inexpressive in some ways of what is actually going on.
Yes, and then we come to something like present, right? Present. And I look at something like that and I think, what were those people onto who came up with that word? I mean, because that's what they're talking about. It's before we feel it, right? That's what present is, and so it can go in both directions, right? That we sometimes struggle with the language to express what's going on, and yet, a lot of this conversation, we do have that ability. Because you're seeing those action words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did that all hang together, or did it? Did I get
absolutely
you there? Yeah.
No.
Good.
No, it totally made sense. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So if I'm, I guess what follows from that is if I'm in a place of feeling stuck, then I need to pull out the prescription.
Yes. Yes. And it's really helpful to have the prescription for a specific, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not going to be the same if my toe hurts or if I have a cold. I don't need the same prescription for that. But with how all this works, I can take a specific and I can have the prescription. It's probably going to be the same prescription, but I want to make sure I'm applying it to the condition that I'm currently working on.
Yeah, that's a really important part of it, isn't it?
For that reason we were just talking about, because that's what positions us really to see what's unfolding.
Uh-huh. Oh, so interesting.
It really is, isn't it? So it's so much more interesting than ignorance. Right? Which takes us back to, you didn't hear it, but what we were talking about with Jen, process that conditioning wants us to fall for, where it's looking always for where we are to see what's wrong with it. And, of course, that's the greatest defense it's got against us seeing what's being revealed in each moment, and not revealed about us. Revealed about it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're here and we're really interested in it, so if we said about a dis-ease, and we're really interested in what that is, what that dis-ease is, so I'll kid people about having a headache or catching a cold or something like that. And the conditioned reaction is get away from it as fast as possible. Take something, make it go away. I don't want to feel this. I don't want to deal with this. And it's such a perfect example of how conditioning is doing it to us all the time. But when we become interested in that way, well, then I want to know everything there is about this so that I can bring the right prescription that's going to speak to precisely to what this is. And it's my process of attending that is going to transform the whole thing.
Yeah, I had exactly that experience this morning with a physical thing that's going on, and you just articulated it perfectly.
Uh-huh. And something that you already experienced. So then you can recognize, that's the articulation of that experience that I had, which is how we're doing it all the time, right? Because life will drop it in. It drops it into your head or my head. It comes out of your mouth or my mouth. It's the same process of always seeing what we need to see now. Always available to us.
Yeah. Wow, hey.
Yeah, wow, hey. Mahalo.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Laura. Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. Hello. It's Kim from Vashon calling.
Well, hello, Kim. What are you seeing?
I'm excited to be here and excited to get on. So I heard this physics program yesterday, and I think that physics is finally catching up, or maybe they are before us, with the concept that it's all now. Because
they are definitely only 2,500 years later. They're always focusing in on what the Buddha taught. Yeah.
That's what it is. But they're actually now, there's science about that every moment is now. And, so it's just this human ego that creates a sense of time. And so for the question about where do you want to be, I think was yesterday's question. It's like it's even hard to answer it, because if the question is, I just want to be now, That's my answer.
Well,
and
wasn't the question something like, I just want to can help with that, I think, but
yeah.
Something like, where are you in your life now?
Where are you in your life? Right.
Yeah, where are you in your life? Yeah, now.
I'm here.
I'm here
and,
now.
And it's kind of a trick question. It's kind of like your book, you know, How to Get from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be, because it's asking ego where it wants to be, and ego has a lot of ideas about that, you know, but when I look at that, you know, then it's the answer is pretty simple. I just want to be here.
Yes, now.
Now.
Uh-huh. Yes. And the thing that I'm fond of pointing out with that is it's the way to have a really long life.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's that time thing and the unconsciousness that goes with time. So I'm not here in this moment because I'm reviewing something that happened yesterday, and I'm worried about something that's going to happen later. And so I'm constantly living in that imaginary ego world of the past or the future. So I'm never here. And that's why people feel like time goes by really quickly, because people aren't here for the spaciousness of now.
Mm.
And now is very spacious. It includes all time.
Wow, yes. I noticed that last week. One of my friends says, don't use the word busy anymore. Use exotic if you're busy instead of busy. So I keep on saying it's been an exotic week. And,
yes.
You know, it felt like the week was very long and not in a bad way. And then I was like, well, what's that about? Because the week before it went really fast. And so I guess it's just sort of the undulation of presence.
That's exactly right. One you were really there for, one you weren't so there for. Yes. Precisely. And, you know, the other thing that, again, we were talking at Center yesterday about this, that busy has become a bad word.
Yeah.
So on one end of the continuum is busy, on the other is bored. And and you're not meant to be either one of those. So it's, again, it's giving us something to compare ourselves against. Are you busy? Are you too busy? Are you not quite busy enough? But are you busy with the right things? Not the right things? Are you wasting your time? Should you be doing more? I mean, it just opens up this whole fantasy world that ego plays in.
Yes.
But to be busy, to be fully engaged in life, to be here for every moment of it, to get to do all the things that you want to do, which is true for most of us. I mean, we get to choose, and we do the things that we want to do, and then we complain about being too busy.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So you're actually having an exciting, action-packed, full, satisfying time of participation in life.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And even those things that I, you know, even those things where, you know, we have a preference and then we bring in, you know, no preference, no problem, and then go to the process of enjoyment, which I think we talked about last week, then it doesn't matter what I choose.
It doesn't matter. It does not. It does not, not a bit. You can be having fun with any of it. And especially if there's that playful sense of just, okay, well, what if I choose this? What will happen? What if I do that? What if I go there? What's going to happen? Yeah. Lots of workshops, yes. Life is a workshop, isn't it?
Free workshop.
A free workshop, yep. Yeah, that's
Asha,
good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Ashwini. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Kim.
And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show and our assignment for today. Where would you like to be at the end of your life, recording with him?
Oh, I think we have some big hints there, don't we?
We certainly do.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody. Go happy.